gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. Today is May 12th, 2008, and it was on this day in 2003 that 59 members of the Texas House went into hiding. They went to Oklahoma, I believe. I think they went out of state. They were in a dispute with the Republicans over a redistricting plan that it turned out was hatched by Tom DeLay. It's what he's under indictment for now, in part. And they were taken there, so they went there so they couldn't force to vote on this redistricting plan, a rather novel attempt to stave off the Republicans' plan to change things, although it didn't work in the end. Also, today was the day that Today was the day that NOAA, N-O-A-A, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, announced they would no longer name hurricanes exclusively after women. And I want you to think about what year this might be, folks. Guess what year the U.S. government stopped naming hurricanes exclusively after women. If you remember back far enough, they used to only give them women's names, which I suppose it was an inside joke among men or something. Maybe it was a compliment, but I don't think so. Anyway, think about it. What was the year? Can you believe they stopped this in 1978? So most of my students alive today, what do I mean alive today? Most of my students were not alive when they made this change. They have no recollection of this. 20-year-old students were born essentially in 1987. Can you believe that? Anyway, let's move on and talk a little bit about things that have happened this week. And the first thing that we won't spend much time about on is to acknowledge that Jenna Bush got married this weekend. Some say the wedding of the year, although they kept it as low-key as possible. She had the chance to get married in the White House, and she turned it down. I think that's interesting. Seems if your dad was in the White House, boy, would that be an opportunity to have a wedding that would the world would remember. But she wanted no part of it, apparently, which is interesting. So Jenna got married, and they didn't release many details of it. They wanted to keep it quiet and respectful, and I suspect she wanted it that way. And for the most part, I think people allowed that. We don't really know. The other thing, and you talk about spectacles, the other thing that happened was that the Soviet Union seems to be back in Russia at their victory parade for World War II. Of course, they celebrate every year overcoming the Nazis. But at their victory parade, they rolled out heavy weaponry again. Now, it turns out they haven't done this since 1990. One of the things I've always respected about the U.S. is that we don't have parades where we roll out our heavy weaponry to impress our people and convince ourselves that we are a powerful country. But the Soviet Union did it every year. I think they used to do it on May Day, actually, May 1st. But this year, they did it on, well, I don't know if it's May 7th, May 8th, whatever day they commemorate as VE Day. But they rolled out into the streets their heavy weaponry again, tanks, missiles, all of that. Not a good sign. The only solace we can take from that is that, in fact, the Russian military is the hollow shell that it probably always was, but that we always like to pump it up and talk it up so that our defense budgets are bigger. But, in fact, they have very little capacity or capability right now. I mean, they still got their nukes, but they are a shell of their former self, and they never were as big a deal as people wanted us to think. A weird story in San Diego, a raid at San Diego State University, a six-month undercover investigation, ended up arresting almost 100 people, including 75 active students at San Diego State. And I got friends that teach at San Diego State. All got caught with drugs, 50 pounds of marijuana and marijuana plants and all kinds of stuff. So they have shut that down. But that's a pretty big raid when you start wiping out that. Speaking of illegal behavior, closer to home here in Arlington, I think it was, no, Alexandria, Representative Vito Fasella. And I'm sorry, but anybody that can get elected to Congress and then pull this crap is full of it. Anyway, Vito got arrested in Alexandria for drunk driving. He's a congressman from Staten Island, a New York congressman, and basically he got stopped for running a red light, and they found out he was drunk as a skunk. And so when they asked him to recite the alphabet from D through T, basically he couldn't do it. He said D, E, F, H, G, H, I, J, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T. And he was swaying and all of that. So his blood alcohol was more than twice the legal limit. And he was asked where he was going, and he said he was going to pick up his daughter. Well, it turns out he has three children and a wife back in Staten Island. And he left a bar in Logan Circle, drove across the Potomac to the Virginia suburbs, and then he had to change his story. He had said he was on his way to pick up a sick daughter at her home and take her to the hospital, but the next day he said no, he was driving to Alexandria to see friends. Well, that's the story he should have started with, because within another 24 hours, this all happened last Wednesday and Thursday, I guess, by Thursday, he acknowledged that he not only was having an affair with a woman who lived in Alexandria, but he has a three-year-old daughter with her. She's a retired Air Force officer. Now, this is a guy, a six-term Republican congressman who represents Staten Island and part of Brooklyn, and he was already in trouble. His seat was already up for grabs. The Democrats thought they had a chance to win it, and he hasn't announced he's out yet. But this seat was already vulnerable. He is out. There's no way the Republicans are going to let him run for re-election. So another one bites the dust. And, you know, I'm an equal opportunity guy here. It strikes me that there's as much, you know, lack of integrity typically on both sides. And right now the Republicans have an unbelievable string of bad luck. I've never been one that believes that there's more honor, more integrity, more hypocrisy on one side than the other, more patriotism on one side or the other. All of our politicians, all of our citizens love the country. They may not understand integrity. They may not know how to take personal responsibility for their actions. They may not choose to, but that's equally spread. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democratic thing. That having been said, the Republicans are on a terrible streak right now. You could, if you look at the evidence objectively, out of the last 20 or 30 Congress people to get in trouble, that is, get in so much trouble they're either indicted, forced to resign, or an embarrassment to their party because of what they did, I'd say it's about 21 to 4, 20 to 5, maybe. That is 20 Republicans for every 5 Democrats. That means 80% of the problems right now in recent years have been on the Republican side. Now, I'm not willing to conclude from that the Democrats are more moral, more responsible, or whatever, because this tide could turn going in the other direction. But I will tell you this, that if it were 80% the other direction and it was a bad streak for the Democrats, you know what you'd be hearing from right-wing talk show hosts would be that, well, they're fatally flawed. They don't have a good character. I mean, Sean Hannity's on every day trying to impugn Barack Obama's character, as though, A, he knows something about Barack Obama's character, that Sean Hannity knows something about character, period. Right? But that's just the way the political game is played. This is hardball. So that's the way it goes. Let's see, moving on to more pleasant news. This week we've been celebrating, in the last week, the 60th anniversary of the birth of Israel. And so there have been all kinds of celebrations here and especially over there. And so that is a whole interesting dynamic that we aren't going to discuss in any detail. But it certainly is time for celebration. It's one of the, well, frankly, next to the European democracies, one of the longest standing democracies in the world, a great success story, and a bit of trouble in the Middle East from for all 60 years that it's been there. It's been hard to find, what do I want to say, hard to find a way for everybody to live together. There was an article in the Washington Post this weekend about the kind of in the aftermath of the Pope's visit, talking about the way that the Catholic Church has punished priests who committed pedophilia crimes and sexual crimes and all that, but that it protects the bishops. Now, if you were listening to my show a few weeks ago when the Pope was here, I covered this point exactly. The Pope seemed genuinely concerned, although he waited until this trip to address the whole sex scandal in America. In fact, the papacy, Rome in general, ignored this and thought it would go away when it first happened. They underestimated the seriousness of it here, and who knows how serious it is around the world. And the Pope did not address it until just a few weeks ago on his visit. And people who met with him said that he was earnest and seemed genuinely apologetic and shocked and appalled and all of that. And yet, as I pointed out at the time, this issue of protecting bishops goes right to the top. Cardinal Law from Boston, one of the main offenders that moved priests around despite knowing that they were pedophiles, and not telling parishioners, not telling the lay people in his under his care that that's what he was doing. When he finally, the heat was so much they had to get him out of Boston, they kicked him upstairs, like you do in a corporate situation when you want to reward a guy, or like you do with a John Ashcroft. He loses an election, but you reward him by making him attorney general. There's no excuse for that kind of protection of these guys. And I don't need to say any more about it than that, but in that whole article the Washington Post did on Saturday about this issue and how lay people are critical of how the church has handled this, they never once mentioned Cardinal Law. So I didn't figure that one out. Let's see. Oh, a little bit on globalization here. There was an article in the Washington Post yesterday, on Sunday, that talked about the fact that there's a lot of legal work now being done in India. So Indian lawyers are now brushing up on American law. There's a whole outsourcing industry growing at 60% annually of U.S. law firms outsourcing some of their legal work to India. You know, if it's intellectual work, anything that can be digitized can be done over there. So if it's research on U.S. law, they can have a set of case books and law books and all of that. So it's just another interesting aspect of globalization. And here's a problem that the Post reported on yesterday also, that typically is an international problem or a third world problem, and we seem to have it here now. So you may or may not have heard about this, but one of the reasons cell phones became popular around the world quickly is that you don't have to put the infrastructure in place. You put up cell towers as opposed to laying copper wire all over the place, right? Until 20 years ago, if you wanted communication infrastructure, people were putting up phone systems and stringing copper wire all through the third world cities and neighborhoods. The problem was people are so poor that as quickly as they would put up a lot of this copper wire, they were taking it down. People were stealing it and selling the copper wire on the black market because copper was relatively valuable. Well, it's finally happened here. It turns out that copper has increased in price about four times in the last 7 years. In the year 2000, it was selling for less than $1 a pound, like 83 cents a pound. And now it sells for between $3 and $4 a pound. And so there is so much copper around. I mean, the phone company itself, AT&T, put millions of tons? Certainly thousands of tons of copper in the ground, on wires. It is all over the place. And it's pretty valuable stuff. So they're not actually taking down wires yet, I don't think. But there are water pipes that are made of copper. You know, a lot of copper piping in old houses and all of that. And people are actually stealing those things, and it causes flooding in basements and things like that. Just an interesting sidelight. Also, we'll get a little later to the situation in Burma, Myanmar, where the cyclone hit and a week ago now, and Burma's been so slow to react and let aid in that they've got a major disaster brewing. They got probably about 1 million people that are in trouble, and they're only reaching about 100,000 of them right now. Maybe it's 2 million. And it's because their military government is suspicious of outsiders and has been not allowing aid workers in, not giving them visas, all of that. And beyond that, we may not spend too much time on that, but I don't want to minimize that as I talk about this next story. Just because that's an international story, it affects a lot more people than this one. But in the U.S., we've had a wicked run of bad weather. There have been tornadoes in Virginia, just south of me here, a few counties. And there have been, actually, the tornadoes were further south than that, but there were major storms that caused serious damage just recently. The tornadoes that hit over the last few days, and some that caused fatalities, hit not simply in Tornado Alley, Oklahoma and Arkansas, Kansas and Missouri, but also in Georgia and South Carolina. Well, you don't see a lot of tornadoes. And more than 20 people were killed over this weekend, mostly in the borders of Missouri, Kansas and Oklahoma, right in that area. But there were also fatalities in Georgia. In any case, the storms will get dealt with, and that'll get handled. But what I thought was interesting was, before I come in at night, I always psych myself up for my show by listening to a little bit of right-wing talk radio. And so when we come back, I want to tell you how these storms are being interpreted by some, not all, but some of the right-wingers.